Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers, and as you know, this is one of my favorite times of the week because you can call me and touch me, and I can touch you, and we can share with one another, and I just love it. And we have so much to share. And one of the things that I would like to offer you tonight, for those who are interested, call in and ask for a mini reading of someone that you have been in a past life. What I do is I follow your voice, and that voice takes me to your body, and around your body is what appears to me to be a cloud. And I go into that cloud, and I can see one of your past lifetimes. It is so amazing what we can do with our consciousness. Anyway, friends, I do invite you to do that. And while we talk about what we can do with our consciousness, one of the things that I did, and you can do too, I sent my consciousness to the center of the cosmos. I wanted to see what things looked like to God. The first time I went there, Julius Caesar took me there. And if you can recall this, in one of my past lifetimes, I was Julius Caesar's daughter, Julia. And so when I helped him to be released from the Bardo, which would be akin to what we consider purgatory, he took me there to the center of the cosmos. And it's something that you can do. And we went back in time. And I saw the monads created. This was so fascinating. You could see your monad created. And you might say what the vision is of your monad for your higher self and your soul. There, the monads that were created cover every imaginable virtue, situation. And of course, when they were created in this magnificent energy and vibration of love. You know, if you're feeling somewhat down, it would be a wonderful thing to do to ask your consciousness to go to the center of the cosmos and watch those monads created, because it was such an incredibly beautiful thing. And I will take a moment now and explain to you what it looked like to me. There was what appeared to be a creation table. It stretched out into eternity. And upon this creation table, the Creator placed a great deal of energy. And that energy was composed of, first of all, love. A tremendous and exciting and intense form of love. The love was so intense that it turned into pink light. And it went as far as the eye could see. Like I said, it looked like it stretched into eternity. And there was the Creator's love. And then the Creator brought forth its light. The light was so intense, it was even difficult to look upon it. The light was so intense. And then the Creator brought forth vibration. And during this period of vibration, the light danced. It was dancing light, my friends. It is what it looked like. And if you want to see this, you just ask your consciousness to take you there so you can see it. And after some time, After the monads were created, if you wish to experience the creation of your own soul as it came to earth and then brought forth your physical body, you can do that too. One of the things that I remember coming to earth was this great feeling of love, this great thankfulness to give me the opportunity to be here in this lifetime. Because you see, even though there are many souls who would like to be here, there is not enough space and time for all the souls who want to come to be here. So if you are here, you have been given a great gift. And so perhaps it might be time for you to connect to your monad through your higher self and ask what your monad wants you to do. What is it about? What abilities do you have that it wishes to share with you? And you see, all through our many past lifetimes, there have been struggles, there have been great accomplishments, and there have been great disappointments. And the monad carries that. Sometimes these things need to be healed. And so during meditation, and I hope you are all meditating, I hear some people say, I don't know how to meditate. But meditating is something so simple. I think people make such difficulty over really what meditation is, because it's, you might say, a place where the mind goes. And one of the things that you can do is move from chakra to chakra. There's a chakra beneath your feet. Start there and allow your consciousness to come forth up through all of the chakras, up through the crown chakra, and intend that it go into the center of the cosmos. Because if it does go to the center of the cosmos, you will know it. You will know it by the experiences that you have. It would be most amazing, because if you are able to send your consciousness to the center of the cosmos, you see the world as, or rather the universe, as the Creator sees it. And so one of the things, and I know we've got a lot of cherubim on earth presently, and one of the things that the cherubim do is take that energy that comes forth from the Creator, and those that are working with planet Earth, bring that energy all around the Earth. And there are experiences that they connect with that energy, and they take it back to the Creator in the center of the cosmos, where cherubim strip those experiences and leave those experiences with the Creator and start on another journey. This is all done through vibration. It's one of the reasons, my friend, those who are cherubim feel events so intensely, because you are so attuned to vibration. It is one of your jobs. In other words, you were created to do such things. And this is a time we are approaching a new golden age. We have been clearing dark forces throughout the universe, and they are being cleared here on Earth. I know sometimes you think, how in the world can that happen when there is so much sadness here? But it is happening. And so, my friends, call in for your mini reading. I would be glad to do it for you. And for those who want an in-depth reading, go to Carolyn at carolynevers.com. And on the left-hand side of that page, you can order one. The readings are very entailed, and it's not something that I tell you. You are literally taken there. You put your foot into that experience of a past lifetime, and you experience it. It's not that I tell you what it is like, but my friends, you experience it. And you can ask questions. I know I've told this to you before, but it humbled me, and I felt very satisfied to be able to bring this experience to someone. But they wondered if they had lived during the time of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And so we asked that question. And Yeshua came. And etherically, he placed his hand on her shoulder. And she was able to look into his face etherically. Once you see his face on any level, etherically or not, you never forget it. You are touched in a way that you never forget. And people who belong to certain religions, you are taught certain facets of that faith. But how much more interesting to be able to actually experience these things yourself. To actually experience watching the monads create it, or seeing the energy as it moves around the planet, as it takes all of the events that are happening and move them back to the center of the cosmos, to be a part of that. And the cherubim out there in particular know what I'm talking about, because they experience energy in such a dramatic way. It is what you were created to do. So anyway, friends, we'll take a moment and we invite you to call in and ask for a mini reading. Also, if you find that the information that I give you is of benefit, there's a little donate button there on my webpage. You can, or rather the BBS webpage, you can donate something. We'd be very happy for that too, because you help to progress what I do, my work. And I am just very glad to do that. I have come across many people who desire healing of some sort. And I would like to say that we have such powers that we are not thinking about. We can bring healing into our own life. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Dr. Cousins, who had a serious disease, and he chose to heal himself through laughter. And he watched everything he could get his hands on that had to do with laughter of some sort. And so it does give us a little insight. It was intended that we be happy. It was intended that we be full of laughter and joy. And so remind yourself at the end of the day, if you have been joyful that day, if you have helped others to be joyful, and if not, intend that the next day when you wake up, that you will be joyful, you will be happy, and you will make others joyful and happy. It's extremely important, because those around us sometimes carry burdens that seem so heavy to them. And a bit of our joy could make such a difference with family members, with those that we work with, and with neighbors. And so, if you notice individuals that seem heavily burdened, Send them joy. Send them your love. You see, they benefit from it, but you benefit also. I wish to remind you that the world was created in love. I know sometimes it doesn't feel that way because we have such negativity upon the earth. But that is what the Creator used to create. The Creator used love to create. And we can accomplish anything with love. We could even help plants to grow through our love. I don't know if you're familiar with that test where someone had taken electrodes and put them on plants, and through the electrodes it would register what they thought were the plant's feelings. And so they took one plant and took it out of the dirt and just put it on the ground and registered that. And every time that individual went into that room, the electrodes showed registering the same, I guess you might say, fear that the plants were feeling. We have such power in our world that we have forgotten. And so what I would like to suggest is, what do you wish to accomplish over this next year? Have some goals. Write them down. And also go to your dreams. When you wake up in the morning, if you have had dreams, write them down, because we forget them quickly. A dream is like the back door. If we are not facing our problems head on, then we are, you might say, tapped on the back through dreams of things, telling us of things that need to be accomplished. There are such few tools that we need to use to keep us on the high path. I've mentioned this before. There is a high road, a medium road, and a low road. Unfortunately, many people have slipped down to the low road, where we should endeavor to travel along the high road. Ask your higher self where you are presently. Are you on the high road, the middle road, or the low road? Your higher self will tell you. Your higher self is connected to the soul, and that is what governs your spiritual path. And that's what we're talking about right now, friends, your spiritual path. I don't have any calls yet. We're almost, believe it or not, halfway through the show tonight, and I'm not receiving any calls from people to get a mini reading on a past lifetime. Don't wait to the last minute till we're ready to sign off to do this. Do it early. Call in now for your mini reading. I told you how I do it, and I will follow your voice. It'll take me to your physical body, and I will look down in that level of energy and get that information for you. What were you in a past lifetime? Or put another way, if you have a strong feeling of something that you were in a past lifetime, call and ask about that. Or if there is a country that has a great pull for you. I mean, I'm just giving two examples. It could be Italy or France. If it has a strong pull for you, find out what it is, what memory is there. There are many Templars, individuals who were Templars at one time, who have that pull to France, because many Templars worked there. I see them now even in my mind's eye. They wore this long cape, and when they walked, it kind of swished around their body. And that's how I see the Templars. And when I say this, maybe you feel it. Thank you. Marilyn, what can I do for you, dear?
Well, you were asking for people to call in for a short reading, and I guess I was decided to be part of that.
So you want a short reading on what you were in a past lifetime?
Yeah, that would be fine. Which is the best.
Tell me, Marilyn, I have a question for you. Do you have a sense or a feeling of what you might have been in a past lifetime?
Well, I do past life regressions, so I actually know about quite a few past lives.
Tell me about one.
I'm getting feedback. One of them was, oh goodness, in the last past life, I was in the 20s, and I was a flapper, and I danced in a speakeasy, and that's, my ex-husband was in that particular story, too, and killed me in that particular lifetime.
I see you with one of these hats that I would say is a cloche. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Just a minute. I'm trying to listen to you on the computer, and we're in a different space than...
Yeah, turn something off, because it's interfering.
The feedback is now off, so now I can...
Okay, I see you with a cloche on your head, that hat. Do you know the kind of hat that I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah, I see you very clearly wearing one of those, and you were doing what looked like the Charleston...
I believe that's true.
Actually, you were very carefree during that lifetime. Can you feel that?
Well, yes, I do.
Do you have a tendency in this lifetime not to be as carefree?
I've had a very difficult lifetime healing a lot of domestic violence in my life in this lifetime, so I was really basically never free.
That's very difficult. That is so difficult. Do you feel that you're clearing that yourself?
Well, I've had a lot of help, and I've done a lot of meditation and counseling and work to clear it. I believe my real past life I'd like to know more about is I believe I was alive during the time of Jesus. And that
Wait a minute. I didn't hear that, Darlene. You were alive what?
During the time of Jesus.
Oh.
And that I came into this lifetime to help share the same message.
What do you say we call him forth now?
Okay.
Now, he's going to come forth etherically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll call forth Yeshua. He's standing next to you. You should feel his energy.
Yes, I do.
You know you can do this for yourself. But you need a quiet state of mind. And so when you're in a quiet state of mind, call him forth. And you will feel him energetically the way he is right now. Now, do you feel another energy with him? Feminine.
I feel Archangel Michael. I feel a very powerful one on the other side of me.
Well, there's another one there, sweetheart, and that's Mary Magdalene.
I feel her energy too. And, yes,
she has come. She has a message for you.
Wonderful.
See if you can hear. See if you can hear what she's saying. If you can't hear it, I'll take it for you. But I want you to tune into her. I want you to tune into Mary Magdalene and see what she has to say. Tell me if you are hearing her and in your mind's eye. It's not a voice that you hear in your ear, but it is like in your mind's eye or in your heart. Do you hear what she's saying or understanding what she's trying to convey to you?
Well, I believe she's telling me that she's very proud of me, that I have worked through so many difficult situations and I'm coming through in a way that is so much healthier and happier, and in my sharing it with others. I just finished a book in my case. Sharing the information of the right use of energy will be very helpful to others, and she's very proud of me.
Yes, she said that, but she's also saying something else, that you can send her energy to other people who need it. In other words, there's people out there that really need the peace and the love that she carries, but they're not able to connect with her because they haven't tried to do this. Mm-hmm. And you can send, when you become aware of people like this, you can send her love and healing to these individuals. Not okay. only can you do it, but you will notice a change in their life. You can do it every day for them if you wish.
Well, that's wonderful.
Okay. So, dear, if you feel that we have helped you, you can contribute to us on the page there. And we will talk to Nancy now. Nancy, you have a question, sweetheart.
Yes, Carolyn. I first want to say I had a wonderful reading from you in the past. And so I just wanted to let everybody know to definitely do it. My question is about templates. And you
about Templars?
Templates.
Oh, templates.
Yes, and I was curious more information about that. You had mentioned that I had a Joan of Arc template, and I was curious, you know, why.
What does that mean?
Yes, please.
Well, it's really simple. It seems difficult, but it's not. When somebody comes in on a template from another person, they have access to what they have learned in that lifetime without going through the suffering that that person went through. As you know, Joan of Arc had a very difficult life, and she died being burned in the flames. Now, with you carrying her template, she had many gifts. And if you want to share in some of her gifts, first of all, before we get there, I want you to call in Joan of Arc. Would you do that, please, mentally?
Sure.
Call in Joan of Arc and tell me when you feel her energy. It's very clear. It is almost like a sword. It is so clear. Tell me when you feel something like this.
Okay. I feel some energy, I do.
Yeah, she's there with you. And she's willing to work through you. Do you meditate?
Yes, I do.
When you meditate, if you care to, call her in. She will work with you, and she will help you direct her energy out into the world. There are people in the world that need this. In other words, there are events right now in the world where people are going through very traumatic times. And she will tell you where to direct her energy. She's telling me right now that Greece was a place where her energy could have been used. And interestingly, she's telling me that when you work with her, direct her energy to Washington, D.C., that there is conflict there. There are people there who have the good of the nation, and there are people who are being assailed by the dark. And you can help clear the dark from Washington. That's an amazing message, my dear.
Yes, it definitely is.
And you are one that would like to work with healing, I do believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, any contribution I can make to help, well, you know, I would be, you know, grateful for.
Well, that's what it's all about right now. I said earlier in the show that we are working towards a new golden age. And if we can clear away any of the dark or any of those beings that wish to pull down the energies of other souls, you would be of great help to humankind at the moment. Okay. So if you would like to have a full reading, just go to carolynevers.com on the left side and order one. I think you would be very satisfied with that.
Okay. I've had two readings from you, actually, Carolyn. And well, they were wonderful readings.
Well, that's great. And remember that your soul has import as to what we do, and so you wouldn't get the same information back. There would be other issues that would be addressed. So thanks for calling in, dear. And I hope that you got something of value.
I did. Thank you so much, Carolyn.
Good.
God bless.
You too. So we have time for another person if you wish to call in. If not, we'll talk about some other subjects. One of the other subjects that I would like to talk about is when you start remembering past lifetimes, there are many gifts that you receive. And I remember quite a few of my past lifetimes. And in each one of those that I recall, there is a challenge. And one of the things that I learned is that living on Earth, it's a school. It acts like a school, and going through the time here, it's all about learning. And I remember when I died in the Colosseum, I was an early Christian, and many of the Christians were put in the Colosseum with lions and tigers, and it was very difficult. But even though that was so difficult, I remember what it was like when I crossed over. When I crossed over to the other side, when a lion had killed me, and I crossed over to the other side, what it was like. And going, my soul going to the center of the cosmos. So many people are afraid of death. And I would just like to say, I would like to confirm to you that there is nothing to fear. It is part of the journey that we are on. And if you are facing death, or if you have a relative that is facing death, have these conversations with them. Call in their guides. Call in some of the experiences from their past lifetimes to help get them through that situation so they're not fearful. Anyway, if there is not someone who's going to call in right now, we'll talk a little more about the journey that I took when I went to the center of the cosmos with Julius Caesar. I watched the energy that the cherubim took, this path around this particular planet. There's other things are going on in other planets, but this particular planet, Earth, the cherubim are working very hard with Earth and the environment around Earth. And if you believe that you are a cherubim, you are very sensitive to what people think and what people say. And sometimes it's very difficult for you to carry this load of what other people think. We do have conference calls. Richard and I have conference calls. And if you feel that you're a cherubim and you wish to join our conference call, you can do that by sending me a note, and I will tell at Carolyn@CarolynEvers.com, and I will tell you how you can join that. So, getting back to our conversation, something that I would like to draw you towards so that in some way you can feel this, what it was like when the monads were created. I said this earlier, but I know people tune in and tune out. And if you hadn't heard this, it's worthwhile. The Creator created all the monads. And I even see now the dancing light. The Creator created with light. And all this light He brought forth on a creation table that looked like it was going out into eternity. And He breathed upon it. Actually, it wasn't a breath like we breathe, but rather it was vibration. And when that vibration hit that creation table, these sparks of white light danced. I wish I could explain it so you could feel the wonder of it that I felt when I saw that in my mind's eye. Actually, Archangel Michael's very powerful. If it's something that you wish to experience, when you meditate, call upon Archangel Michael and ask him to take you to that moment when the monads were created that you would like to see and feel this dancing light. It was quite incredible. It was greater than the fireworks at the 4th of July. It exploded and danced. It was quite remarkable. So, we don't have someone calling in at the moment. So, I will take this opportunity to talk a little bit more about some things that I had experienced. One of the places that I had been on my travels was Mont Secours. That was a mountain in southern France. And many of the Cathars had taken refuge there. I know there are people out there in our audience listening to this who were Cathars. They had artifacts that were very sacred to them. And they gave those artifacts to a group of souls. And they rappelled down the back of Mont Secours. And those that were left walked down the mountain and walked into the flames. The Pope had declared the Cathars heretics. I had actually been there at the spot where they were burned, and there was a plaque there in French dedicated to these people who were so proud, who did this so that these artifacts could be passed on, and they were. Some of the things, the artifacts, were in keeping with the Templars. One of them was information of the astrological signs of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene when they were born. Some of the other things were the contracts that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene had written in paper. They had written down promises that they made to one another, and information that the wedding feast of Cana was their wedding feast. And it was one of the first miracles that Yeshua had done. He had turned water into wine. That was his wedding feast. It doesn't say that in the Bible, but if you want to know these things, call in Yeshua when you meditate and ask him. And if you're speaking to Yeshua, he will tell you. He will explain it to you. He will tell you what it was like that his guests told him that the best wine was saved for last, when usually the best wine was served first. So the wedding feast of Cana was the wedding feast of Yeshua and Mary Magdalene. And actually, that was a secret that was held for a long time by the Templars and later the Cathars, that first of all, Yeshua and Mary Magdalene were married. And secondly, that they had between them a special kind of DNA. They came to connect that DNA that had been destroyed in Atlantis. The dark priest in Atlantis had destroyed that special DNA that Yeshua and Mary Magdalene had brought forth. And it was one of the things that Yeshua was to do when he was laid in the tomb after the crucifixion. And that was to bring forth that DNA again for humanity. So that was one of the gifts or chores, you might say, that he accomplished as he lay in the tomb. And talking about that, I would like to tell you that I was in that tomb. There is a place in Jerusalem, and it's called the Garden, the Tomb Garden. The stone that was covering that opening is not there anymore. I don't know what happened to that, but you could see the runner where the large stone was rolled down, the runner. And when you go inside, you're allowed to go inside, you can actually see the stone bed, this bed carved out of stone where they placed Yeshua's body when he was taken down from the cross. It's quite an experience to be there and to see that. And the day that I was there, there were a lot of groups that were there, and they were there singing and having their own little celebrations. It's worthwhile going, because from the tomb, you can actually see Golgotha. And the reason it was called Golgotha is because it is like a mountain made out of white stone, and there were openings that were washed away so that it made what looked like large eyes and a mouth. It looked like the face of a human being. The place of the skull, Golgotha, not far from where Yeshua was crucified. It's an amazing place. And if you have the opportunity to go there, it would be worthwhile going. And David of Arimathea, that would have been his burial place. You see, he was related to Yeshua. And it would have been his burial place. And they needed a burial place quickly. And so he gave his site there for Rabbi Yeshua to be buried. But of course, as you know, he didn't stay in the tomb very long. He was only there for a couple days and came forth. And I do think that it's interesting that the first person who saw Yeshua was Mary Magdalene. You know, he loved her greatly. And after he died, it was very difficult for her to go on by herself. She loved him so greatly. So there was a great sadness about that event. Well, my friends, we don't have much longer to go before we're at the end of our program tonight. Call in for your mini reading. Let me tell you who I see you in a past lifetime. I know there's people out there who are listening to the show. They really want to call in, but they hesitate hanging up because they're listening. But do it soon, because we're just about at the end of the show. And if you got a couple play things that you can do to be of service and help me, there's a donate button that you can donate funds to. And you can also go to carolynevers.com on the left-hand side and order a reading. I don't tell you about a past lifetime. We actually take you to that lifetime, and you step into that lifetime, and you experience it yourself. You experience it yourself. It's quite incredible. It's not that I tell you. You actually experience it. So, if you're having trouble meditating, it would be helpful to have a guided meditation that you can play on a record. Something that you can listen to that helps quiet the mind, that takes you to a place where you can open up passageways to the heart, to the soul, to the love that you are, so that you can work your way up through all the chakras, to make your way out through the crown chakra, and to go out into the universe, to experience it. You can experience that. We also can experience this with a loved one. Imagine putting your arms around the neck of someone that you love, and the two of you meditating and going out into the cosmos and exploring. It is a great thing of love. You would enjoy doing that. Well, my friends, we have 6 minutes before the show is over. 6 minutes, that's all we have. So do you want me to talk these 6 minutes? Well, actually, it's five now. Should I talk more? Or is there something you would like to connect with me and tell me about? I mentioned to you before that we're on the edge of a new golden age. We're working our way towards it. We have worked our way through golden ages in the past, and we are now working our way towards another one. I remind you of this because it's so easy to become discouraged when you hear about so many negative things in the world. Join our conference calls and work with the other cherubim to clear this negativity. We usually work with somebody like Archangel Michael or Lord Metatron. We work with others who give us a meditation, who give us their information on what's happening in the world, and then we work with a guided meditation that I do. And if you would like to know more about this, go to my email at carolyn@carolynevers.com and drop me a line that this is something that you wish to know about. So, my friends, we are very quickly coming to the end, and no one else is calling in, but I will tell you this, that on top of Mount Sapur, that there are beings from outer space who live there in the higher realms. You know, the universe is so large, it's rather conceited to feel like we're the only living ones in all of this space, and we're not. They are many out there. Maybe you have seen a flying saucer. I know I've seen some of them now and then. I've seen them from my home, and I've seen them on my travels. I actually talked to a lady who said she came in on a flying saucer. Did she? You know, we never know this when someone gives us this information, if it's accurate or not. But that is certainly what she believed. And I enjoyed listening to her stories. So, my friends, we are at the end of our show for tonight. And I send forth my love to each and every one of you. And I hope that you have gained in some manner from what we have discussed tonight. Don't forget, you can go to my website at carolynevers.com and order a past life reading where you actually go into that lifetime. We would love to do it for you. So good night, everyone. It was good talking to you. And we'll see you next week.